Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And we're here with our illustrious panel of Melissa Gould and Tom couldn't make it.
Spirit.
He's with us in spirit.
So feel free to ask him a question.
He's well. Don't get the wrong impression, but he's here with psychic spirit. Bob and Fran, and we're going to be talking about psychic experiences today. As you may recall, in our last gathering episode, we were talking about personal experiences that people had to make them believe that there's an afterlife. And tonight we're going to talk about experiences and be reading experiences that listeners have written in various surveys to make them believe that things like intuition and psychic communication is indeed true. So before we get started with the show, Fran will catch us up in some important foundation activities.
Okay. And we really want our listeners to pay attention. I know I go through different announcements every time, but the year's coming to an end, and you may miss out on something if you don't pay good attention, or something that you should be involved in that Spirit led you to, but then you didn't act. So, starting with our Holiday Pass 2015 raffle is up on the website. It's been up there for a while. People have been buying their chances to it. You got to be in it if you want to win one of the five medium readings we're going to be raffling off. And those readings are going to be provided by Tracy Lee Nash, Neil Zapowski, Nancy Marlowe, Dustin Livers, or Kathy Towell, depending on when your number is selected. And it is selected using a computer program that chooses random numbers. The numbers are assigned when you buy your tickets. So if you've already bought tickets, you really want to keep buying tickets so you get more varied numbers. And the drawing will be December 23rd. Obviously, you don't have to be there. It's a computer drawing. We're doing it. And then we will post the winners on the internet, and we will contact the winners directly to let them know that they've won. Our next webinar, and for those of you who have been going to our webinars, you know how wonderful they are. You grab a bowl of ice cream, get into your pajamas, get your laptop, and tune in. It's lots and lots of fun. On October 28th, we feature Dr. Jim Tucker from the University of Virginia. He's going to be sharing his years and years of research on children who remember past lives. So yes, that's reincarnation. For those of you who are interested in reincarnation and evidence that shows that we do in fact leave this physical world and then come back again. Our Florida members, we want to remind you that November is next month. And on November 13th, Joanne Gerber will be conducting spirit communication for a small group of just 50 people. Most of those seats are gone, so if you're in Florida or plan to be in Florida on November 13th, you want to grab those seats that are left now. For our Kim Russo fans, the seats for October 24th at CW Post Campus of Long Island University in Brookville are also going, so you want to grab those seats as well. For both of these events, the seats are $25 and $35 if you buy them in advance. If you buy them at the door, you will be paying more, assuming that there are still seats available when you get to the door. And for our December people, looking forward to December, we have two Holidays Past events. Both are on December 12th. One is in Natick, Massachusetts with medium Joanne Gerber, and one is in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey where Joe Scheel and Janet Nohavik team up. We had a waiting list at our last Dessert and Discarnates event in September. We've added one more to the very end of the year on December 18th. It will be in Oceanside if you want one of those seats. There's only 12 seats there. We work with the mediums to try and make sure that something comes through for everybody, assuming spirit's willing to work with us. But we have left enough time in the evening for the medium to get to every person there. And there's only 12 seats, so if you want one of those 12 seats, you've got to grab them quickly. And finally, please, please, please help us keep our programs going by visiting our website, clicking on the donation button. There's one on every page. Keep in mind, because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. But we do get the privilege of enjoying all of the bills that the other nonprofits enjoy. So we still have to pay those bills. You can help us out. Go find that donation button and be as generous as you possibly can. And if you can't, if you don't have the money to send in a donation and you do still shop online, please use the Amazon link from our website to shop on Amazon, or sign up for iGive and name Forever Family Foundation as a charity of your choice. And this way, when you shop on the internet, those two organizations will make donations to us in your name. And for all other events, links, information, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you will find everything there that you need. And lastly, if you're a business interested in advertising on this show, contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you can call the office at 631-425-7707. I'm done.
Okay, that's our show for tonight. So as I mentioned before the announcements, so we're going to be talking about psychic experiences. I have a treasure trove of responses that people, you know, have written in. And I think we should mention before we get into this is that, because we do get questioned every once in a while if the focus of our foundation is about survival of consciousness and about the afterlife, you know, why are we so interested in psychic experiences and intuition? And we can't emphasize enough that if you don't believe that these things exist, like intuition and mind reading and distant healing and all these things, that then there's no possibility of an afterlife. If we are our brains and our brains die, then we can't talk about the rest. So that's the reason we're interested in it, because it lays the groundwork for belief in an afterlife. And speaking of that, I find it curious, and I'd like to know what your feelings on it. I talk to so many people, and I ask them if they believe in an afterlife, and without hesitation, they say yes. And then I ask them if they believe in psychic experiences, such as telepathy, and they say no. I don't, you know, understand, you know, the, you know, how you believe in one and not the other. I mean, I do understand. I think that people say they believe in an afterlife because of faith, you know, just blind faith. But do you see a problem with the two? I mean, do you encounter people that believe in one and don't believe in the other?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the friends I have don't seem to, you know, believe in any. They say they don't believe, but then they make comments that shows they sure do believe. That one friend I mentioned about the afterlife, and she goes, "Oh, I don't believe in any of that." She goes, "When my father died, he appeared at the end of my mother's bench. She said, 'Don't you ever come back again, like, and scare me.'" And then she just kind of like, you know, I don't believe. It's like,
they're just repeating the.
But I experienced that too. Somebody will come up to me, even people that don't even know that I'm involved with Forever Family Foundation, will come up to me and they'll just start to tell me this wonderful story about being communicated with from somebody who's recently died, and then they'll say, and they'll tell me this magnificent story, and then they'll say, "But I don't believe in any of that stuff."
Yes,
and I
yes.
look at them, and I of course, I'm not going to let it go, and I say, "How can you, after you just tell me this magnificent story, how could you say you don't believe? You've just experienced mm-hmm. communication from a deceased person, and now you're going to tell me you don't believe.
Yeah, well, people don't make that connection. So they say they believe in an afterlife. So, you know, but how do you, they don't think about how that mechanism or process might work. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so the thought, they believe that when you're physically dead, your consciousness stops, but somehow a supreme being takes over, you know, and brings you to this other realm. I mean,
that's the way religion has.
I believe, from what I've heard people say as well, they might watch or attend some events with a medium, and they're amazed, but it still doesn't make them believe in an afterlife. I don't know what it is they think they're seeing.
I don't think that they have a full grasp of what afterlife means, and I think maybe it's time to throw that word out, because it's been used in religious connotations in more of a negative way, you know, kind of stay away from this, it's not for you to know, it's not for you to see, and yet the reality is we're not sitting here summoning the dead to come in, they're communicating with us on their own free will.
Yeah, and I know that we have to go to a break, but I just was driving in the car, you know, about an hour ago, and I was listening about that horrible tragedy that happened in Oregon, and 13 people were killed, and yet another senseless mass killing, and 20 some odd people were severely injured, and the president came on and was talking about it, and he ended his talk with, you know, may God bless the memories of the children. And I'm thinking about that is, not bless the memories, you know, bless them. First of all, they still exist. And, you know, and that's symptomatic of our society. It's always they live on in your hearts, you know,
the
memory, you know, so, you know, if there's a God, he's not blessing a memory. They still exist, and he's blessing them. But mm-hmm. on that note, let's go to a break. We come back. We're going to start reading these experiences. And if you'd like to share an intuitive experience that you've had on your own, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us, and we will be back in a couple of minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 888-627-6008. And so we did a couple of surveys, and this one was asking about the people to let us know about personal experiences that were intuitive or psychic, and that can involve a lot of things. And we'll go through some of them. A lot of the responses, a majority of the responses involved telephone call, you know, as you'll see, which you might expect, because intuitive knowing, you know, people are going to call. So, but sometimes other things are involved. Here's one. One day the phone rang, and just as I picked it up, a knowing suddenly shot through my mind that it was my mother calling me to say that my stepfather had passed. Yes, it was so. I wasn't surprised. It was as if the moment the phone was ringing, I could also hear her voice saying what had happened. So I interpret that to mean that the mother did call to say that the stepfather had died, and she had anticipated that. So, and we hear that not only with phone calls, right, but with people having this intuitive knowing when somebody's passed. Another person writes, I was sitting on the couch in my living room looking through a magazine when all of a sudden I had this overwhelming feeling or intuition that our lives were soon going to change. That something significant was going to happen to our family. I remember thinking, was something going to happen to my mother-in-law, to my parents, or my husband, who was 10 years older than me? I didn't know what it was about, but it was a thought and a feeling that was so strong. After a couple weeks, I forgot about it and didn't recall it again until my daughter was killed in a car accident 2 months after that. So another example of more than a feeling, you know, a very strong knowing feeling of dread, you know, or doom. And that's certainly not the first time, you know, that we've heard that. Well, it happened in our situation, but it's happened to countless other people. So, now, a lot of people have psychic experience, not in such a dire, you know, nature. I mean, sometimes, there are good things that happen. But, I mean, do you recall, Melissa, having a knowing, you know, that something was going to change or happen?
I honestly cannot say right that I have. Nothing pops to mind. So, mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. And when you folks had shared your experience, I wasn't ready to say, I had something like that once. So no, I'd have to give them more thought, but at least nothing dire, you know.
Right. Then of course this woman, you know, might think about, and others might think when they hear about her experience, was that, you know, was she seeing the future, or, you know, was a family member who already had passed sending her, you know, a message, or
that preparing her, maybe
preparing her, or getting sending her an intuitive feeling, or that she, you know, that was interpreted as a strong knowing.
Let me ask you folks, when you know you had that feeling, and then you did have the terrible circumstance, how soon after the circumstance did you go, remember that morning I had that feeling? Like, did that occur to you immediately?
No, because when you're experiencing something in the physical world that's so devastating, that's you're engulfed with all the physical attributes of what's going on with you, you know, the grief and the questioning and dealing with all of this stuff, where there's no quiet mental time for you to get away from that.
So when did it occur to you?
I think it was months.
It was months. I mean, for me, and it was months afterwards.
Like, just thinking back.
Like, just saying, whoa, you know, like, how did she know? You know, just that hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, how did she know? Because it was clear that she did, and, you know, that, in my case, that's what propelled all this interest, you know. But I would imagine there are quite a number of people that have, you know, similar stories that have gone through, you know, severe trauma like that. Another woman writes, another person, because it's anonymous, writes, occasionally knowing who was calling me on the telephone, sometimes holding premonitions of meeting someone. Another one writes, I can be thinking of someone and the phone will ring and it's them. This happens to me regularly. This is a recurring theme.
That is so common. The phone thing is, I would say, the most common thing that you hear of.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you can reason and with good cause, you know, that, well, you just, people do think of other people on a regular basis. I mean, it's more dramatic or evidential when it's somebody that you haven't thought about in years and years, and then all of a sudden your phone rings. You know, you may have gotten 1,000 other phone calls in that interim, you know, and if you know, then it's, you know, but if it's somebody that you speak to on a regular basis, I mean, you know, I speak to my daughter every day, so, you know, I know, for me to say I knew she was going to call, I know about when she's going to call, you know.
Yeah, but if you get several calls, even if you get several calls each day, and even from the same people each day,
yeah,
it's almost like playing with the Zener cards, like,
right,
who's going to call next?
That's true.
Who's going to call next?
Right.
Well, would you categorize that the same, and maybe you already said this, but with the, when you are thinking of someone, just someone, an old friend or something, and then the phone rings and it's them. Like, the phone rings, you don't think, oh, I'll bet that's going to be Susie.
Right.
I was just
right.
That's
like you,
but
you prompted
Susie.
The phone. You know, see, you're thinking of someone. Mm-hmm. There's a telepathic communication that takes place between the two of you, and then that person picks up on it and calls, right? So
I have to tell you, last night I saw a giant spider in my basement, and it just, I'm, you know, dealing with spiders and stuff, but I have Terminix, and I thought to myself, I'll bet some people would just call Terminix right now and say, I have a spider in my basement. Today, Terminix called me.
Ask you if you had a spider in your basement?
Apparently, I had an appointment today that I wasn't aware of. I'm totally not aware of. It was like I should have gotten an email and I didn't.
So was the spider reminding you that?
I have no idea what that connection was.
Another person writes, as to intuition, I've had many experiences of feelings, of feeling that someone would call me, and they did almost immediately, even if I had not seen or spoken to them for months. On one particular occasion, I was to meet a woman in her office. As I was getting ready to go to the meeting, I had a feeling that the lady had a problem and couldn't be at the meeting. I called her office and was told that the woman had car trouble and needed to cancel our meeting. Well, that comes in handy. It's like
an appointment
radar, you know.
Yeah.
But these are, you know, they're so common. You just see it just running through all the responses. another person writes, I can sense the emotions of people I love with exceptional accuracy. On one occasion, I dreamt that a friend had moved everything out of their house into a truck and that he and his fiance were staying at a friend's place, but that they were worried about their cat. I discovered that my friend's house had been broken into while they were at home, and there had been an aggressive exchange with the people who broke in. My friend and his fiance were staying at their friend's for a week, and they were worrying about their cat, who was quite distressed with the unexpected change of location.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's got a whole bunch of information.
Right, but I just want to say this about that.
Yeah.
That's the same thing when people say, oh, the medium got something wrong in when they're delivering information. Because here, she got the information, but the delivery, the interpretation of the information was different than it actually was. Because the information comes telepathically. It doesn't come with words and pictures and descriptions. It's literally a ball of information that just comes all at once. And mediums, when they get that piece of information, they're giving it to their sitters as accurately as they possibly can. And this is a great example of that, because it shows how really the information was right on.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little scattered because of the delivery.
It's true, so people are forced to interpret their psychic experiences and put them into words the same way that mediums have to interpret their spiritual, connections. There is a big similarity there, and you can screw up both, I've had many experiences where I'm thinking of someone in particular, and within a few minutes, I get a call from them. Okay, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite amazing, so many people. I had a dream that my grandmother, who was living at the time, came to me and told me she had 10 months to live. She seemed healthy, and I never told her of my dream. I did journal it, though, over the course of said 10 months. I watched her deteriorate, and soon she was diagnosed with cancer. 10 months and 2 weeks from the date of the dream that I had, she passed. I'm not sure if she was having an out-of-body experience to prepare me for her death, or if it was my own intuition preparing me for her death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know if you want to call it an out-of-body experience. I think I would say more because our consciousness is all one, it is all connected, that her soul was able to impart the information to her in a dream, right? She says it's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So in a dream, she received this information. Whether her physical grandmother was aware of this communication or not, on a soul level, grandmother wanted to let her know. It was important on a soul level that she know this ahead of time.
I don't know who I heard it from. One of the mediums who'd written a book, I believe. And if anyone's listening, maybe they've heard this too. But that the soul knows within maybe 6 to 9 months that it's going to be passing. I suppose by any means, natural death or accident. So if that were true, then in this case, that grandmother's soul knew,
right,
and helped to prepare those who would be most devastated.
Yeah, the other thing that I noticed is that after she had the dream, her grandmother was healthy, at the times, and she elected not to share that dream, as many of us, I guess, would react the same way.
Well, I want to go on record. I did have a dream about, I've shared it with Fran, I believe, and maybe some family members, about my mother, not about her actually dying, but she was it was a dream of her experiencing, understanding the next, where she was going next. And it's still vivid in my mind. So I feel like that must be significant. And I wrote it down just to recall it. Now my mom's 92, but in perfect health, feeling great. And I think that dream happened more than 4 or 5 months ago. So stay tuned.
Well, I think that that's that's very evidential that she could share that with you, that she had that experience, because that's a wonderful piece of information to have with you, knowing that there is something that lies ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's a valuable thing, and then to share it with you, you know, it's almost the same thing as the grandmother dream, mm-hmm. where the grandmother came and because I can't share it with you,
yeah.
let my soul share it with right. your soul through a dream. And this is the kind of stuff, and I think that's what's so valuable about this survey and all the wonderful people who shared their stories, is that the more we share these stories, the more obvious it becomes that there is something wonderful awaiting all of us.
I think that's the key, the sharing, because we were on a little campaign for a while about, you know, talk about it.
Just to get back to that a second, where she never told a grandmother, you know, about the dream. If the information had come from another source, like she just had a feeling, let's say, that an intuitive feeling that a grandmother was going to pass in 10 months, you know, then she might have said something, you know, because, and maybe she could prevent it, you know, go to the doctor, you know, something, you know, get checked out. But and this was a situation where the grandmother herself came to her, you know, in the dream and told her this. Mm-hmm. So then there was no need to, yeah. you know, to tell, because she's the one that told her. So that's interesting. Because a lot of people do have guilt about such things, where they have a dream about something bad happening. They elect not to say anything, and then they have guilt after the person passes. Could I have prevented this? You know, so that is an issue that a lot of people I know deal with. Another person writes, my partner had a flight in New England for a meeting, so we printed out the boarding pass and I dropped them off at the entrance to the terminal. Driving home, I suddenly got the urge to turn around and go back. I parked the car and went into the terminal. He was standing at the check-in counter. The plane had been overbooked and they had to rebook him on a later flight. I can't explain how I knew that something was wrong. You know, this is something we hear a lot. You know, people turn around, people change their routes, right, all the time. They make a left instead of a right. They don't know why. They go to visit somebody, and they don't know why they're going, and then they find out that they're helping in a problem. So it's...
When you drive to work, do you always take... If you have a choice of ways to go, which I'm assuming most of us do,
yeah,
you know,
right.
do you sometimes think about, which one am I meant to take today?
As I'm making decisions as I'm driving, they're based purely on traffic patterns. But I do sometimes think about what you said, that after I decided to go a certain route, or maybe I left 5 minutes earlier or later than I thought, might I, especially if I'm sitting in traffic, might I be better off? Because if I had taken the other fork in the road or left at a different time, maybe something bad would have happened.
It's like when you see the accident
yeah.
that was just up the road, and had you been a few minutes earlier,
right.
that might have been you.
Right. Yeah, I do think of that.
I have when I'm going someplace and there's several routes I could take, I go through those routes in my head, and I get a general feeling of which one I should be taking. Now, I'll never know what happened or didn't happen on the route that I chose not to take.
Yeah.
So there's really no way to know.
Yeah.
But I do that regularly. I go through the different routes in my head, and then there's one that stands out, which is the one I should be taking, and that's the one I take.
Well, you know, you could have avoided 500 accidents.
Who knows?
Another person writes, I have dreams all the time that come true months later. I relive that moment right down to the very last detail.
Do you think that that's almost like a deja vu?
Yeah, certainly a lot of deja vu elements to it. You know, and it is a weird experience when you have a dream and you see that dream play out in front of you with all of the vivid detail that you recall.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared to
handle. I know when I'm having a deja vu, I'm saying, okay, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
Because it just keeps going and going and going.
And wasn't it Rita Dwyer, whose life was saved?
Right.
Because that coworker had the dream. Wow.
That's right. Person writes, I had a dream that my father emailed me to tell me my uncle had passed away. My uncle was not sick at the time. Within a few months, my uncle passed, and I was advised of this by an email from my father.
Oh, my.
Boy, now we're having dreams about emails that we get. You know, that's something you didn't hear, you know, 40 years ago, right?
Well, 100 years ago, people say, well, like, somebody penned me a letter instead of I got an email.
Right.
Same concept, just comes by a different route.
Well, even now, I'll send you an email is obsolete, right? Now I'll tweet you or I'll whatever.
I'll message you.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess we'll go to our break.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll come back. We have many more listener responses, so stay with us and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering. We're talking about psychic experiences and reading some of the experiences that have been shared with us, which we're grateful for from our members and listeners. In case you'd like to share another one, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. This person writes, I had a dream while I was in the Air Force during my deployment during Desert Storm that my pet cat had passed away. I woke up with tears and wrote a letter home asking about my cat. My mom wrote back saying that she was shocked about my letter and how my dream was true, that my cat had passed away the day before I wrote the letter. They didn't want to let me know about my cat until I came home from the war. So that's a pretty interesting one.
So the cat let him know.
Yeah, did the cat come to?
Yeah, well, that's always, you know, that's always the question, you know, did the cat come to him in a dream to let him know, or was it, you know, some other just intuitive experience that
yeah, but even if it's an intuitive, what's to say it wasn't the cat?
Yeah.
The cat's soul that gave him the piece of information.
Yeah, this person writes, I knew, but ignored and thought it was my imagination that my dog was going to die. Of course, I feel guilty for thinking this as if I created it. You know, so that's an interesting thing, and it's something that I think a lot of people grapple with. You know, when they have this thought or intuition or premonition about somebody dying or about something bad happened that possibly they could have caused it.
But I not to make light of it, but it's like when Tom watches the Jets play and he thinks something he did made them lose. I'm like, how many people are out there watching that Jets game?
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, certainly I think we're open to the fact that negative thoughts can have repercussions the same way that positive thoughts can. But this person surely didn't have any ill feelings towards the dog, you know.
True.
It doesn't seem rational to believe that you caused it by just thinking of it, you know. If your miserable neighbor who hated your dog told you that, and then maybe you could think of it, you know. That's the way
you only loved your dog, and love is what the major feeling is.
Right. Another response, I live in a wooded area, and while I was out walking my dog one day, something told me to go in the opposite way that I normally walk him in. I looked up and saw a tree leaning on the power line, and I noticed the tree was smoking. I don't think smoking a cigarette, that thing is on fire. I ran to call 911, and when I went back to the scene, the tree was on fire and the power line was arcing. This tree was on the lot line of my property, which had other trees, and my house's wood frame. I have a feeling that if I had not seen that fire, the fire could have spread, and I could have lost the forest of trees in my yard and possibly my home. So, you know, there she was. We were just talking about driving and going, you know, a different way. She's walking a dog the same way she always does, and something tells her to go a different way.
Right.
Another example of intuitive warning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A few hours after we learned of our daughter's fatal car crash, my husband and I were alone in our home deciding our next steps. It seemed too early to make phone calls to friends and family, and since the house was a mess with post-vacation clutter, I decided to tidy up a little bit in preparation for all the people that I knew would begin to visit. As I was picking up a number of books scattered around, I had an urge to open one I had recently purchased, Six-Word Memoirs. Randomly opening the book, I was astounded to read the following quote, "The car accident changed my life." Not only did this experience validate my belief in the power of intuition, but it also opened the door to a myriad of life-beyond-death communications and the undeniable truth that extraordinary perceptions are quite real and more accessible than I had ever imagined. So, a lot of things here, you know. I mean, how many times have we heard about people, you know, a book falling on the floor or somebody just falling off a bookcase, you know, and they open it up and it's something that's truly significant, you know.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And daily readings, Tom and I will be talking about a topic, and then there's a book I read every, you know, it has a message for every day. I'll go, you're not going to believe what today's message was. And it was something we had just been discussing.
With my son living out of state, it's not always easy to get a hold of him. I don't want him to text me at work. I don't want to text him at work or call when it's not extremely important, especially since he's usually on the phone with his job. However, there are times when I just really want to chat, and so I sit and send it out to him. Call me and I love you. It never fails. He either calls on his lunch hour to say hi, or that evening he'll call to chat.
Aww.
I have always felt we have a strong connection, but I also feel our loved one can sense our needs. So a loved one can sense our needs in this physical world and in the spiritual realm as well. And you talked about before, you said we're all connected.
We're all connected.
So, and, you know, we're not really aware. You know, like sometimes we'll say these things not really believing that it's going to be answered, the person's going to get it. But, you know, but they do, you know. And sometimes we're just thinking these random thoughts, and amazingly they do get picked up. But it does seem that this love connection or this family bond is stronger in facilitating these communications. You know, it's mother, daughter, mother, son, or father, you know, brother. There's always some sort of a bond. Not, I shouldn't say always, but
that also supports the spiritual theory of soul groups, that we travel in soul groups, and that somebody who is your sister in this physical life can turn out to be your mother in the next incarnation, but they're all the same familiar souls that you hang around with. So that's not that I'm saying I necessarily believe in that. I'm just saying that supports that soul group theory.
Mm-hmm. And for a future radio show to talk more about soul groups, you know, what does it mean then when there's a family member that you're kind of on the outs with or doesn't see life the same way? Or, you know, what does that mean? Because so many times it's more on the positive side. So what does that mean? I don't know, but that's another program for another time.
I think Melissa's setting us up for the next
year. Yeah. It sure sounded like it.
A survey question.
You're right.
Anyone you're on the outs with.
Another person writes, my daughter told me that she was going to die. She was in the hospital and being prepared for surgery and started crying as we were waiting for the nurses to wheel her into the operating room. She looked into my eyes and told me to take her home because she knew that something bad was going to happen. It is said that the soul knows when it is going to leave the physical.
Not only is it said, but I think Melissa said it about 15 minutes ago.
How sad is that, though?
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Well, it is, and of course, every death is heartbreaking because that's how we view it here in our culture with, you know, putting so much importance on the physical existence. Mm-hmm. But when we begin to realize that there is something that lies ahead, then there is something to celebrate about the transition, which, again, exists in other cultures.
And I completely agree with you. And my only comment about the heartbreaking is if your child's going to surgery and starts begging you,
yeah,
don't. And then what do you do? What, you know, you can't say, okay, let's leave.
Let's go home.
Right. Right, because, you know, I mean, she's right. On a soul level, I mean, her daughter knew, you know, that was the time, but she was still in the physical world, and, you know, you're attached to the physical world, you know.
Right, so you want to, you know, she can say that she knows she's going to die, and a parent would normally take that as being just the fear of mm-hmm. the surgery that lies ahead, but the parent would then feel guilty about saying, okay, well, let's not go ahead with the surgery. And then if it is really her time to cross over and she crosses
right.
over, then you have all of this guilt.
You're right.
You know, as physical beings, we want to do the best we can for our people. So we make the best choices based on what we've learned. Mm-hmm. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we are all slaves to modern medicine and what doctors suggest is the best route. So
Another person writes, I also have had many experiences when I'm thinking about someone and then may receive a call or an email from them. There we go. This is something that happens to me all the time. If there is a danger ahead when I drive on the freeway, I feel ringing in my ear. Then get off at the next exit. Then I find out later that there was a problem on the freeway. So that's what, just what you were talking about, you know, Melissa.
So this person has a traffic guide.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you the best way to get to work. Get off at the next exit. We could all use one of those.
And with the specific signal, you know, the ringing in the ear, you know.
Every time we get in our car, let's ask our traffic guide to be with us.
Right.
We need the GPS, you know. Here's one. When I was 11 years old when my dad and brother passed away in a plane crash. My dad was a pilot and flew a small single-engine Cessna. He was making a trip to Dallas from Wichita Falls, and I was supposed to go. But I had a terrible fear of getting on the plane and tried to stop my dad from going. He thought I was being irrational and continued to go, even though I was crying and insisting he not go. I couldn't convince him to change his plans. He and my brother were killed in that Cessna. And that, certainly we've heard many, many stories about, you know, impending doom, people changing their plans and trying to convince others, whether it be the World Trade Center, you know, tragedy or some of the more the major plane crashes that have happened.
Well, we did talk, I guess it was last year, about that one of the situations very much like that with the Malaysian Air flight where the mother put her sons on the plane and the one boy was begging her not to get on the plane. Something was going to happen to the plane, and she kept insisting, no, that's impossible, that's impossible. And I think there were two or three of her children that she put on the plane that perished in that.
And this, you know, raises another, you know, issue when it comes to, you know, intuitive experiences, is that when you have something like this and you know, you know, we talk about this, we live in a society that generally poo-poos this kind of stuff. So, of course, you know, when you talk, no matter how sincere and adamant you are, people think that you're being irrational, just like in this case. And it's a shame, you know, because if we were more open to these things and if it was more acceptable, just in the general everyday life that we had and in, you know, scientific exploration, you know, where these things are made known, more people would listen, more people would be able to heed, you know, warnings, and we wouldn't have so many stories that end badly, right? Didn't we at one point, I don't know whether we actually acted upon it, but we thought of gathering, we asked all the mediums to send in premonitions and sort of like an early warning system. You know, the theory being that if you had not only mediums, but if you had all these highly intuitive people and they were on a regular basis giving you information about things that they were picking up, and if you saw a consistency in the pattern, you know, let's say you had 100 of these intuitive people and a significant number of them, you know, certainly way more than above chance, are talking about the same thing, then you would pay attention to it.
I recall that. It's like an early warning system.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, we're not the first one to think of that. I'm sure that's been, many people have tried to do something like that. But maybe one day that's what will happen, you know.
Remember that story that I think it was Janet Kane's student drew the Twin Towers?
Right, yeah. And her husband, Jeff, has that drawing hanging in his office to this day. So,
well, that I think that brings us to the close.
The clock brings us to the close. So now let's ask our listeners to join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Lisa, Carol Wasick, Donald Peterson, Pat Drance, Ala, Johnny Boo, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Matt Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Miriam Pierzga, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Haith, Rita Springer, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Erica Betty Kovach, Joanne Gerber, Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Andrea Richard, Brian Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Stanley Mewling, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen LaFlada, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, and Denise. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone and our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.